All right, take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 7 through 12 together. I promise I won't be quite as radical as I was this morning. But if you look at me the wrong way, I could turn just that quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 7 through 12. Let's read this passage responsively. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And let's pray, Father, we need you tonight. Lord, teach us a truth that would change us. Change our hearts, change our minds, change our life in every aspect of our life, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you tonight about that one little statement in verse number 7, the excellency of the power. The excellency of the power. Why is it that it seems that so many who climb the ladder of success higher and higher, or the leadership ladder higher and higher, that they often get corrupt, they get mean, they get evil, they get nasty? And it seems like the higher in success or leadership you go, the nastier you have to become to stay there. May I say something? It doesn't have to be that way. Amen. It's almost always that you fear someone to become successful because it's almost a curse. I've been around enough preachers over the years to watch them start off and then they start growing and gain success and you start worrying, when's it going to hit them? Are they going to let it go to their head? Are they going to change? You watch a young businessman and he starts climbing the corporate ladder and he starts gaining success and they're in church and then you start seeing leave for business trips. And then he starts missing for work. And then he starts missing for that. And then you wonder, it's going to get to him. It's going to get to him. I've seen success ruin as many people as just about anything in any part of life. And I don't mean this the wrong way. There's nothing wrong with success. But there comes something with that that most people don't know how to handle. Now, why does it seem that success hurts people even though it's not wrong to succeed? Why does it seem that the higher you go, the more corrupt you become? Is success in and of itself evil? No, it's not. Is it wrong to be successful? No, it's not. Now, you listen to the average preacher on the radio, bless God, you should never be that successful. I heard some Yahoo get up one day and said, God didn't intend for King Solomon to be rich. No man of God ought to be rich. And I thought, well, you haven't read the Bible I read, because the Bible says that God, because Solomon asked for wisdom, God gave him riches. I don't know where you got that. You say, well, I don't think preachers ought to make a lot of money. Well, I know preachers that are wealthy before they became preachers. I don't think it was wrong for them to become wealthy. Wealth itself is not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, success and position has power attached to it. Let me say that again. Success and position has power attached to it. Human pride is very strong. Yes. Now, listen to me very carefully. If you don't get anything, get this, because the whole sermon hinges right here. To feed your pride with success and the attention that goes with it is where many people mess up in life. Watch one of these young sports athletes. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 years old, right out of high school or college, they get thrown into professional sports, and watch how they mess their life up for the first few years till they learn how to handle the success. They don't handle it well. They've got to grow up. They got to mature with it. I'm sorry, no 19, 20, 21, 22, 23-year-old needs to be making $40, $50 million a year for playing ball. Nobody needs to be making that money for playing ball. I don't care what anybody says. We humans tend to take this excellency of power and we place it upon ourselves. Now watch this. And it's for ourselves, and we don't give God the credit for our success or for our position. Now watch this. The excellency of power belongs to God, not to man. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 4 again, verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, or not of man. Can I tell you something? There's nothing wrong with success, but when you start taking the excellency of the power of success upon you and not giving it to God, that's when you're about to mess up. That's when you begin to corrupt. That's when you begin to go down morally as you go up successfully. That's why position really doesn't mean a whole lot. If you're there doing what you're supposed to do, the position will take care of itself. Now, our pride causes us to think we have power or excellency because we have position or success. I kind of laugh. Of course, we live in a world that doesn't really understand church in the truest sense. I get people, I'll be doing business with somebody and they'll say, "What should I call you? Should I call you Reverend?"
Yeah.
No, that's most holy Reverend to you. They don't know what to call me. I said, you can either call me Pastor Bush. You can call me by my first name if we're doing business. I said, if we're at my church, I'd prefer you call me Pastor. I said, I have a position. I said, I'm just as common as you are, but I understand. I have no problem at all you calling me by my first name in business. I said, but my position in my church, I said, I have to maintain that for the church's sake, not for my sake. I said, I'm not one of these guys that gets up in a turtleneck and sits on a stool and just call me Pastor Craig. Or just call me Craig. Those kind of guys aren't worth shooting. I'm sorry. If their position for the man of God is that low, something's wrong. I represent God, not myself. Now, our pride causes us to think, though, that we have the power because we have the position. Did you ever work elbow to elbow with somebody and then they got a promotion and you didn't even want to be around them? They started acting arrogant, stupid, and better than this person or better than that person because they got a position now. They're the same old guy that you swung shoulders with earlier. They just now have let the power go to their head. Now, we think that we have authority that is ours that comes with position or success. Now, I'm going to make a couple statements here. You're going to use your Bible just a little bit tonight. Our pride causes us to think in position or success that we have authority. Make a statement here. No human has authority. We represent authority. I don't have authority in the church. I represent the authority. I represent the authority.
Amen.
I don't have authority in my home. She does. even in the home, I am to represent authority. And I stand there for authority, but I am not the authority. When my children are at home, I wasn't the authority. I represented the authority. When I had to correct my children, I'd look at them and I'd say, "Do you want Daddy to disobey God?" Now, at certain ages, it was yes, because they knew what was coming. And I'd say, "I love you, but I love God more than I love you. And I'm not willing to disobey God because I love you. And you shouldn't be willing to disobey mommy and daddy and disobey God because you want what you want. And God told me this is what I'm supposed to do. Here it is in the Bible." I'd show them and say, "Now I'm going to obey God whether you do or not."
but I still love you. I represented the authority. I was not the authority. I represent, by the way, that's what our public officials are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to represent the people, not take the excellency of the power upon themselves. Right. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 13.
Romans chapter 13. Look at verse number 1. Now, here we go. You ready? Let every soul be subject unto the higher, what's the next word? Powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise the same.
You know, the police aren't bad people. They represent the authority given them to enforce the laws of our land. I know Christian people that teach their kids that the police are bad, and don't you ever listen to them. That's wicked as hell.
You're right.
I hate to tell you something. And please don't get mad at me, but when all this thing with the racial stuff and all the police are bad, I heard one black fella get up and say, well, I have to teach my kids how to act because they're black, when I have to teach my kids how to act when a police officer stops them. No white person ever has to do that. I thought he didn't grow up around my daddy.
Amen,
brother. When I was getting ready to start driving, my dad taught me, if you ever get stopped by a police officer, exactly how to handle myself. I taught all three of my children how to handle themselves if they got stopped by a police officer. You say, why? Because I didn't want them getting shot and killed because they were stupid.
Yes. Right.
You don't understand what most of our police officers go through. I've walked the streets with them. I've been on the beat with them. I was in Compton, California with the after the Rodney King riots, going out with the chief of detectives for the Compton Police Department. I won Danny Sneed and his wife to Christ. My wife taught his little boy. Was it Danny Jr.? I don't remember. You had nightmares about that boy. No, but I baptized them both. I've been shot at with him. I got out of the police cruiser one night. We were chasing a bunch of guys painting the side of a wall, and somebody fired off a .22 at us. Well, I had only gotten two steps away from the cruiser, and everybody's got flak jackets on but me. But I knew that door, and that car was bulletproof, buddy. I was back under that car. I heard Danny, preacher, Brother Bush, where are you? Where are you? I said, back here in the car. He said, good. When we get back, I'll get you a flak jacket. I said, thanks, too late now. Good night. You say, wait a minute. Not all police officers are good. No. Everybody's a sinner. You want me to bring a bag of stones and let you throw the first one?
Yeah, come on.
I was taught and trained, when a police officer stops you, you put your hands up on top of your steering wheel, and you wait for direction. Roll your window down enough to talk to them and do whatever they tell you. And the answer ought to be, yes, sir. That's what I was taught when I was 15, 16 years old. Can I tell you something? You say, what was that? Representation of authority. The police officer does not have the authority. He represents the authority. That's why resisting him, you're not resisting him, you're resisting the authority. So, well, he doesn't have the right. Yes, he does if he's enforcing the law. Well, I don't like that. Oh, wait a minute. It's not a matter of whether we like it or not. Justice is justice. I'm even for him having to handcuff a person if he's unsure what the situation is just to protect himself. Well, I don't think I ought to. Wait a minute. I don't know what he's been into that night. I don't know what he's been into in the last week. And you don't know what he's been into. If you've walked up to enough bad situations like they have, you wouldn't trust anybody either. Everybody doing all right? So authority is given by God. All power of authority is given by God. Whether it's in government, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the workplace, all of that is a representation of God as authority. Now, I got to hurry here. We take our authority of our leadership and our success as pride, and we rob God of that power. We want the excellency of it rather than giving it to God. Our sinful pride is fed by authority. The more authority we get, the more we feed our pride most of the time. That's why the higher up somebody goes, the harder it is to reach them. Did you know it's easier to go soul winning usually in a poor neighborhood than it is in a multi-million dollar establishment?
That's right.
Because people that are poor don't have anything, and they're willing to say, I'd take anything other than what I got. You take somebody that's got $1 million, $1 million home, they've got millions and millions in the bank, and they've got 14 cars, they've got boats, they got everything, and they're decent people. They don't need God because they got everything they need right now because they're depending on themselves. They have the excellency of the power.
That's not good.
Everybody doing all right? Now, let me give you a quick illustration. Cain. By the way, the first sin involved man wanting the excellency of the power and not God. Man wanted to decide right and wrong, not God. So he took the excellency of the power away from God and took it on himself. The very next chapter, Genesis chapter 4, you have the story of Cain and Abel. Cain was not willing to obey God in a sacrifice. He was supposed to bring a blood sacrifice. He said, God, my brother is the farmer, the herdsman. I'm a farmer, and I'm not bringing you blood. I'm bringing what I have, and if you don't like what I have, too bad. And God said, Cain, I don't like your attitude. I don't respect you. I do have an offering available ready to jump into your arms if you take it. And he said, God, take what I've got or leave it. That's why in the book of Jude it says, thou hast gone in the way of Cain. By the way, all religion is basically the same thing. Most of the religion of today is man trying to get to God man's way, not man trying to get to God God's way.
That's right.
I don't care what label you put on it. Doesn't matter if it's Islam, doesn't matter if it's Catholic, doesn't matter if it's Baptist. If it's not God's way, it's man's way. You don't get saved by getting sprinkled. You don't get saved by getting poured on. You don't get saved by taking the sacraments. You don't get saved by mama lighting candles and praying for you and taking her beads and doing the Hail Marys and holier than thou's and all the other, you know, where's my cigarette stuff? And it doesn't matter. Can I tell you something? Man is trying to take the excellency of the power of God away, even in religion. Now, success doesn't need to destroy us. Leadership and position doesn't need to destroy us. It doesn't need to corrupt us. I'm going to give you just a few quick points. I really, honestly, think we're going to be just a little early. Number one, God is the giver of all authority.
Yes.
God is the giver of all authority. Romans chapter 13, we were there. It says that all power is of God. It said, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Brother Stoltz, I believe in obeying the police officers. Brother June, I believe in paying my taxes. I don't like how many I got to pay, but I believe in paying them. I believe that I ought to obey the speed limit and all the driving laws. Boy, that one just went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? That one hurt real bad. I went past Midland, amen. I believe that the higher up you go in success, the more rules you must obey. I believe in the laws of marriage. Can I say something? I took a vow to that lady almost 28 years ago. That ought to be the lower end of it, not the higher end of it. But I believe in keeping that vow. I just won't get married, then I don't have to keep it. That's called shacking up, and we talked about that this morning. It's wrong. God is the giver of all authority. This is true in government. Our president doesn't have the authority. He represents the authority of the Constitution. And he represents one-third of the power of the Constitution. You have U.S. senators that represent one-third of the power. You have U.S. congressmen who represent one-third. Then you have Supreme Court justices that think they override all of it. Now, it's true in government. You know, the president does not have the authority to make law. The only thing that gave him that is a bunch of weak-kneed politicians that wouldn't stop the last one we had. And what the current one's done is signed 36 pieces of legislation reversing what the other one did. Hasn't made one new law. Nothing. This is true at work. Did you know your boss has been given power by God? Brother Harry, your boss has power because God gave it to him. He's earned that position. Whether he saved or lost, he deserves the respect that goes with the position, but he only represents what the company stands for. That's why I think it's pretty silly for somebody that flips burgers at McDonald's to say they know how to run McDonald's better than the people that own the company. You know, well, it's not fair. They make tens of millions of dollars every year, and I only make $9.50 an hour flipping burgers. Well, good thing you didn't grow up when I grew up, because you wouldn't have made more than $2.45 an hour. And that was a good paying job back then. And some of you are old enough to remember when that was good day's pay. It's true where you work. It's true in our government. It's true in our homes. Moms and dads, you don't have authority. You represent the authority, which is God. Too many of us get the God mentality, and we want to be God in the home, not represent God in the home. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Lost man and carnal Christians see themselves as the authority and not God. The day that this preacher decides he knows more about this church than God is the day this church starts having troubles. What's happening in churches across America today is you got a bunch of suave fellas that don't want to put the time into the book, and they don't want to take time out and knock on doors and get people saved. They want to attract big crowds and let the big crowds come in. So we'll call in different people, and we'll change soul winning to, well, we'll have an evangelism ministry. We'll have a follow-up ministry. We'll have a, what do you call those things that they pass out and take a survey? That's it. We'll have a survey ministry. Good night. Folks, if you got time to take at somebody's door and have them answer 30 questions, you got time to take the Bible out and show them how to get saved.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I'm not saying it's sinful to do the survey, but to call that soul winning, that's wicked as hell. Now, hang on for a second here. Then we get this mentality, well, I've got a big crowd, so I'm right and you're wrong. I'm getting ready to preach a sermon. Isn't it amazing? I'm going to give you the truth of the sermon probably, but that's life. When we get judged at the judgment seat of Christ, we're not going to get judged by how many works. It says by what sort it is. Not what size it is. Not how many, but what sort.
Yes.
You see, we want to take the power on ourselves. We want to administrate versus get our hands dirty with people. One of our dear ladies is going to have a minor procedure done medically on Wednesday. I found out this morning. And I said, would you want me there? I said, my wife and I could be there. We'd pray for you before your procedure. And I said, you don't have to. I understand. You know, a lot of people don't understand. Preachers used to do that all the time. She said, I am pretty scared. She said, but it's early. I said, ma'am, what's early to you? She said, well, I got to be there by 7:15. I said, I have 2 or 3 hours in. Don't you worry a bit. We'll be there. She said, oh, that would be so nice. That would settle me. I said, good. That's what I'm here for. I love that. I hope our church grows and grows and grows and grows, but just so you know, I'm never going to stop doing that part of it. I enjoy that part of it. That's what it's all about. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. See, the power's not of me. I represent God. Number two. Everybody doing all right? I love you. Don't let positions or success be about you. don't let a promotion or the lack thereof be about you. Somebody else got the position you wanted and you didn't get it. Quit pouting. Let God have the credit, truly, for what you do. I will not say who, why, when, where. You wouldn't know, and I wouldn't tell you even if you asked me. But I was in a situation, I was in the preparation of leaving one work to go to another, and the current pastor said, you name any position you want except this one or that one, and I'll give it to you. I slammed my hand down on the desk. I said, don't you throw position at me. Woke somebody up. I said, don't you throw positions at me. I said, you're not going to keep me because of a stupid position. I said, I want the will of God, not a title. Titles are cheap. I said, you can mail order a title. That didn't go over real well. And it was a good thing I was leaving. But can I tell you something? I don't need a title. I never have needed titles. I really don't. I was given a doctorate after years and years and years in the ministry and a bunch of work I had done. I have a doctorate. Say, where is it? I have no idea. It's stuck in a box somewhere. So you don't use that? Very, very, very little. That and about $2 you can get yourself a cup of coffee. Yes. That's about all it's worth. You can mail order a doctorate, just so you know. Can I tell you something? View yourself as the steward or the servant of all God's given you, yes. Not the leader of all God gave you. Parents, when you view you as a servant of those children that God gave you, not God of the children God gave you, you'll be a better parent. You know what the definition of a godly parent is? Taking the dependence a child has on you at birth, by the time they leave your home, their dependence is on God. It is the process of transferring their dependence on you to their dependence on God. By the time they leave your home, they ought to be able to depend on God and get a hold of God themselves. I told Brother Mike and Brother Rich this morning, I don't know that I could have ever been more proud as a dad than I was of my son Jeff this week. He went to work Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, works at Coke, throwing cases of Coke all night, building orders and filling trucks, and it's a real physical job. He worked till 7 o'clock the next morning, 15 hours straight. He got off at 7, took him 20, 30 minutes to get home, laid down from 7:30 to 9:30, got up, worked a bus route, grilled for a big bus picnic and had over 60 people on their bus route, and then went home. He texted me about 6:30, he said, Dad, pray for me. It'd been a long night. I don't get off till 7, and I got to be back on the bus at 10. He said, pray for me, it's going to be a long day. He said, but I got to do it. He said, those bus kids need us. Yeah. Wait a minute. He's not in college. He's not being forced to do it. He's a layman in church doing a church bus route. And he's not the captain. He's just a worker. Then he texted me and said, Dad, could you pray? He said, you remember the man I got to come visit with me to church that I introduced to the pastor? I said, yeah. He said, his mom just died last night, and he was supposed to help me grill today, and he can't make it. He said, but pray for him. He's hurting real bad. This kid got 2 hours of sleep in 2 days. I don't know as a dad that I could have been more proud. And he didn't preach yesterday. He didn't have to preach. He was doing what God wanted him to do. Yes. But we taught him to take that dependence on that he had on mom and dad and put it to God, and look what God's doing. Can I tell you something? I didn't try to dictate what he did. Are you disappointed in him? No. I don't have expectations. That's between him and God, not between him and me. Right. I just taught him to work hard and love God. Everything else take care of itself.
Yes, that's good.
You see, learn to daily praise God for all he does through you. You've heard me make this statement in this church. I'm not pastor in this church. I'm God's assistant pastor. I hold the title to the world, but God's pastoring it, not me. I'm just doing what he says do. Say, what is that? Giving him the excellency of the power, that it may be of God and not of us. Realize that positions aren't about you. It's about God and the influence on eternity. Did you know when you die, money doesn't matter? Money's far overrated. Now, you got to have it to live, and we got to be wise with it, but it's way overrated. By the way, I was glad to see another church in the area that had troubles getting a bank to support their work. They went through 13 of them before they got one. We only had to go through 5. You know, houses and cars don't matter when it's all said and done. Amen. Job titles really don't matter when it's all said and done.
Yes, sir.
When you die, they're not going to put on your tombstone all of your job titles. And even if they did, how many people are going to go out there and read what they were? They doing all right? I don't mean that unkindly, but who cares? So, number one, God is the giver of all authority and is the authority. Number two, don't let positions or success be about you. Let it be about God. And number three, be a leader that doesn't look to rule, but point people to the, be a leader that points people to the authority. Don't be a leader that looks to rule. Be a leader that points people to the authority. Now, let me show you something. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. This will change how you live life, I promise you. This will change how you parent. This will change how you work, everything. Hebrews, this will change you at school. Hebrews 13, look at verse number 7. Remember those which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Did you know, Brother Mike, that police officer that stopped you the other day? No. But let's say Brother Mike got pulled over, and Brother Mike didn't listen to the police officer. Well, this is theoretical. Trust me, it is not the real thing. But if he didn't, that police officer answers to authority about what he's supposed to do with that situation. God said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, because they have to give an answer. They have to give an account. Every person that ever gets pulled over, there is a police report written, no matter what it's for. Because they have to give an account of what took place. But you understand that? Now watch this. The Bible says if you don't submit yourselves, you're not going to have joy. You start resisting the police officer, you're not going to have joy. Now, wait a minute. That means as we teach our children, we're supposed to teach them to obey those that have the rule over them so that they can do it with joy and not with grief. I'm going to make a statement here. Don't teach your children to listen to you and you only.
Right.
They need to learn to listen to all authority. Whether you think or that child thinks the authority is right or wrong, they're supposed to listen to them. My kids got sick and tired of the teacher being right all the time. Even sometimes when the teacher wasn't right, they still got in trouble because they didn't treat the teacher like the teacher was right. We're going to obey the authority. We'll let the authority deal out what the authority needed to learn, and we'll fix it from there. Take your demerits, hush your mouth, and go forward. If you got a problem, let's follow the proper channels. That's how it was supposed to be dealt with. My dad told me, 16 years old, son, you ever get pulled over, you do what that police officer says. If he puts you in handcuffs, you keep saying, yes, sir. He said, that's what judges are for, and that's what court's for. If you don't think you did wrong, it'll work out. Don't you worry about it. But you do what he says. Even if you're standing there in handcuffs. Thank God I've never had him on because of that situation. I don't think I've had toy handcuffs on and that kind of thing, but I've never had an officer put handcuffs on me ever in my life. Now, there's days my dad wanted to put them on me and do something, I have a feeling, but good night. Now, wait a minute. He didn't need to give us handcuffs. We had a splitting maul and a pile of wood. That was worse than handcuffs. Amen? Watch this. If you can only teach children to... If I can only teach my children to obey me, I'm not a successful representation of authority. Then my children will only obey me. I am to teach my children to obey all authority. I'm to teach them to obey the teacher, to teach them to obey the police officer, to teach them to obey their boss, to teach them to obey their supervisor, to teach them to obey their wife or their husband or whoever. I've taught them to teach and learn to obey all authority. Can I tell you something? When you do that, life is a whole lot easier.
Yes.
Point followers to obey because they're always obeying God and not you. When my children obeyed me or they obeyed my wife, I'd say God's happy with you. Why? Because you're doing what he said. Boy, when you start pointing them to obeying God, and when they disobeyed, I made them realize when they disobeyed her, they're disobeying God. It wasn't that they disobeyed their mom, only they disobeyed God and their mother. You see, we've got this all backwards. We discipline our kids because they embarrass us because they didn't do what we said. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why you'll say, do that again, and I'll do that again, and I'll... Wait a minute, the excellency and the power is of you, not of God. God says, do it. Now, realize your place as a leader is representing God, not having authority. I really don't have any authority in this church. I got one vote like everybody else does. You men that sign for things, did you know I can't sign for anything and it'd be legal? Now, my name will be on some of the documents, but that alone isn't powerful enough. That's why we've got a board of deacons and trustees. Because they represent you legally. Did you know I can't sign a check? Now, that's to protect as much as anything, but it also means all the power is not sitting right here. We've got men that have keys to for the lock bags that take things to the bank for us. But the guys that have the key to the bag don't have the key to the lockbox at the same time. That way, nothing can be construed that if Joe's taking a bag and Mike's got the key to the bag, Mike's not going to take the key or the bag over to the bank because he's got both keys. And if something ever came up wonky, he could get accused of doing wrong, even though I wouldn't believe it. That's it. We'll protect everybody. I protect my secretary that way. I protect my wife that way. I don't go home and tell my wife everybody's problems. She finds out like you do. She's not the assistant pastor, and she's not the pastor sounding board. If I discourage her, who's going to encourage me? Everybody doing all right?
Yes,
you say, well, I'll bet she knows. I doubt it. I doubt it. I seriously do. This is true in secular work as well. Did you know that your boss represents God? You ought to serve him that way?
Exactly.
Yeah, but my boss cusses and smokes and drinks and carouses. He represents God. His position was given to him as an authority that represents God. Obey him that way, whether he's a good man or not.
Amen.
I've won a lot of bosses to the Lord that way. I've won many of my bosses to the Lord. Matter of fact, one of my old bosses gave us $65,000 for our building project.
Amen.
I haven't worked for him in over a quarter century. Say, what was that? I gave him the authority that was his and the respect that was his. And he passed it along. Isn't that amazing? This is why I don't pastor the church. I'm God's assistant pastor. Now, I hold the title, legally speaking, But in reality, God's pastoring the church. I told a pastor last night that I was talking to in counseling. I said, Doc, I said, you need to get away from all this church stuff and just realize, I said, you're listening to too many people. You're starting to dabble in some of this West Coast garbage. I said, that stuff will destroy you. He said, why don't you go back to the book of Acts and build your church? I said, the book of Acts knows better than so-and-so. He said, okay, that one just really hurt. I said, you're looking for all the cute methods. I said, why don't you go back to what Jesus did? You want God to bless your church, and you want God to do it the way God wants, and you want God to take care of your church, then build God's church God's way, not building God's church man's way. Amen. I said, by the way, the one you're talking about, I said, he's written books and quoted things from the Saddleback Church. I said, oh, he's got a big crowd. I said, and he's sucking fundamentalists into his college and ruining everybody in the process. I said, he's watered down his standards. When he takes the college students and the young people skiing, tells the girls to wear breeches because it's more modest for them to wear breeches when they go skiing. That's including his wife. Their music is turning. Rephrase that. It turned. And our guys are running to them, flocking to them. I hate to tell you, they're not going to be here. I'm not going to go listen to him. I don't listen to him anywhere. He's not been in our camp for a long time, and I know a lot about him. I was in California when he was there. I know some situations about it that I would never tell anybody. Now, wait a minute. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of man. We're not supposed to absorb that authority. We represent the authority. Hey, mama. Hey, daddy. You represent God. Act that way. Don't act like God, but point your children to God. Amen. When you're at work, act like a Christian and respect your boss. Amen. When you're at school, act like a Christian and respect the teacher. Yes. Whether you agree with it or not. Brother Mike asked me a question this morning. I'll promise you, everything I hit just there solved that whole problem. Solved the whole thing. Here's the problem. Man wants the power. Man wants the position. Man wants the glory. You can have it. You can have it. Because when you die, somebody else is going to pick it up and take it anyway.
Right.
So who cares? Who cares how many letters are after your name? DDT. THD. M. BS. BC. BBD. Whatever. Slow freight. It really doesn't matter how many letters are after your name. As Brother Hiles used to say, you might have more degrees than temperature. I know a lot of smart people that take the excellency of the power upon themselves, and they're very difficult to be around. That's where judges get in trouble. It's where politicians get in trouble. It's where mamas and daddies get in trouble. It's where teenagers get in trouble. They start getting a little what they think is authority, and they can tell their little brother or their little sister what to do. You got to listen to me now. You've taken the authority, and they're not representing the authority. I'm not going to wait till mom or dad gets home. I'll just take care of you now. That's called taking the authority upon yourself. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I've preached. I've meddled. I've given you a truth that'll help you, though. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It'll solve fights amongst husbands and wives. It'll solve problems in your home. It'll solve problems at work. Let's quit taking the excellency of the power and let's give it to God.